Marsha, what can you tell me about Vietnam? Do you remember the Vietnam days and what happened in your life then?
Well, I think awesome. The first time that I really remember thinking about it was my older brother was trying to avoid the draft. He was at Auburn
University. Weren't they all?
He was at Auburn University, and this is when they had the lottery, and my father kept calling his friends, trying to get my brother in the reserves, which my boyfriend, who was much older than I was, in the reserves, and so we're also thrilled. And my father kept trying to call, but there was nobody to call anymore because everybody had called in all their favors to get their sons in the reserves. And my brother ended up getting in the Birmingham reserves instead of up here. And so...
Up here where? In Buckhead?
In Georgia. You know, he couldn't get in the reserves in Georgia or anywhere else. And my father was calling colonels and Colonel Kincaid. And he couldn't get him in. And I remember that a boy that lived right down the street, I mean right down the street, a boy that we used to play kick the can.
Yeah. I played that.
And capture the flag, amazingly.
That had something to do with kissing, didn't it? Kick the can. I remember that game.
We used to play capture the flag, and he was the first person that we knew that was killed in Vietnam. And it was really a terrible day because they, you know, the neighbors called and we'd lived there forever and they lived there forever and they called and there just wasn't anything to say about it. And I don't think that we could even, it was so far away, and it seemed so stupid to us for some reason.
You know, that you saying so far away brings me back to what I did my midterm on a paper, because that's the way it was with World War One. They were, you know, when it started, everybody was going, oh, it's so far away, we won't get involved. But we did, and the same thing happened in Vietnam, right?
Well, I guess this guy was a Marine, and I'll never forget that 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? I to this moment don't have a clue, and I can remember being in summer school, and they would have these classes on what we were doing there about how that, you know, and it was just like, it's just like the communists landing on Savannah Beach, that they were going to land in
California. Really?
Yes, but they were going to come to California because it was, I don't know, somehow closer that way. So I figured, well, you know, we're fine because we live in Georgia, but anyway, that's a joke. But
1, 2, 3. And then, what are we fighting for? I remember that.
And then a boy that I loved very much, that I went to high school with, was killed 2 days after he got there.
2 days?
2 days. And he had just gotten married, and they sent him back because when our neighbor came back, he had all the flags and all that, you know, it was like military pompous dance and all that business. And then when my friend was from high school was killed, they called his wife, and they couldn't find him. He had died in water. And so when she went to identify the body, she said, that's not him. And she was maybe 19 years old.
Who was that went to identify?
His wife.
Okay.
And she said, that's not him. So they called another friend of mine who had been this boy's best friend his whole life. And he went in he looked and he said, it looks like him. It doesn't look like him, but it is him. And there wasn't any, I mean, you know, they played taps at the funeral and there was a flag and everything. And at that point, it was not any longer so far away, or it wasn't somebody I played kick the can. It was somebody that I loved.
Yeah.
And somebody who had, you know, whose family that I, you know, was very close to, and, you know, a whole group of people that I loved that were all suffering. I don't know what you want me to say about this anymore.
Say what you want to say or don't say what you don't want to say. I don't want you
well,
to
I'm
upset.
40 years old now, and he'll always be forever. To me, he'll always be 17, playing basketball.
Yeah.
I have a Valentine in my scrapbook where we went to a Valentine's dance together in high school.
Oh.
And I guess his name's on that wall, and I guess that's supposed to mean, and maybe it does mean something. I don't know. All I know is that I've gotten older, and he'll be forever a teenager, I guess.
Yeah. He won't get older, but you know.
It's hard. It's just hard to think about the people. And I remember when I was in college, I mean, everybody went to college. And I could remember I had this one real mean professor that used to say, Mr. Brown, I'll be notifying your draft board on Monday that you've got an F. And it used to scare me so badly because I always thought about my friend from high school that died.
That's a horrible thing for a professor to say to a student.
It's a horrible professor.
Well, this, I know the Vietnam thing is tough.
Not my favorite.
I know
not
it's
my
not
favorite
your,
year.
That it wasn't mine.
But I do have one good story about that.
Yeah, it wasn't mine either because I had friends that went, I had friends that died, I had friends that came back and didn't. And it was a horrible year for me, and I know we're the same age. But
I do remember the day that the war ended. And they remember they said all the bells were going to ring. And it was, I think it was the night before Thanksgiving. And I went to Overport. And all the churches, there's a bunch of churches between my parents' house and my dorm.
In your dorm?
Yeah, I lived in the dorm. And Overport had bells. And they started ringing the bells at a certain time. And all the way down Roswell Road and all the way down Peachtree, I could hear the bells ringing. And I just thought, thank God, you know, that it's just...
That's when the war was over?
Yeah. Well, so they
say. Or so they say. Yeah, you're right.
And it was so great because I just thought, I remember just going home and I remember my parents, you know, waiting there, and it was really like a nice day. It was a good end to a good day. And I think a lot of times I think the stuff they think, oh, we're going to ring bells, we're going to do this at some time. I'll never forget that. It was like VE day
really,
or something, you know.
I'm not real
my
sure
aunt talks
that.
About dancing in the street or something, but they rang every church bell and anything that would ring. They rang it at a certain time. And I had a convertible, so I could drive it home.
Of course, right.
So I could hear it as I was driving home, and I was thinking about all my older brother's friends and all my friends. And
well, Marcia, I think that you really went through a lot that I didn't. And, well, I've been through a lot in my life after that. if you ever want to interview me about my Mexico days, I can talk to you about it. But I think that you really do remember a lot of stuff that happened in the 60s. And I know you think it makes you sound like a snob because, you know, you had the maids and you had this and that, but I know different, and you're not. But you're a very compassionate person.
Well, I appreciate that, Carol. You know, it was, you know, it's like if you start talking about, you know, things that happened when you're little, or, you know, things that happened, and because my brothers and I are so spread out in ages, we really are like from three different generations.
Well, the fact that you're adopted and they're not, you know, so your brother Scott was born
after I was adopted.
Okay, you're the youngest. No, you're the middle. But you were adopted first. And then, Hunter, your older brother, was already born. Mm-hmm. Then you were adopted. Mm-hmm. Well, you were adopted because they wanted a girl, right? And then after you were adopted, they had Scott, your younger brother.
Right. And adoption was real different back then. They had, my mother pretended that she was not pregnant for a long time until my adoption was final, because she was afraid they'd take me away from her. And after they went to court and signed the final papers for my adoption, they found out and they said they would have taken me away from them, and I'm certainly glad they didn't. But
so adoption was a big issue then, or it was just different then than it is now. Is that what you're saying? It had to have been, because we're talking, we don't want to say this, but almost four years ago. So adoption had to have been different then than it is now.
Well, it's probably as hard now, but they just have more loopholes. I mean, then you adopted a baby, you took it home. They came over to your house for 2 years to make sure everything was all right. I don't care where you live and or how many.
Even though you lived in Buckhead.
What?
I know. She hates this Buckhead thing, Suzanne, but it's a fact.
And they just, you know, they just, it was very hard. It was real hard for them. They had to get permission to take me out of town. My cousins remember them coming to, when we would go to Alabama, my mother would have to fly, and they would say, we're going out to the airport. Tell my cousins, my aunts would say, we're going out to the airport to see Marcia. And they would say, oh, big deal! You know, because
like
they were like, who cares? Because I had to fly, and the rest of my family drove.
You're kidding. This is after you were adopted?
No, this was before my adoption was final. They couldn't, take me out of the city limits.
But this is when you were with your
parents.
Mm-hmm. Your,
I consider them to be my parents.
They
couldn't
wild.
Take me out of the county. I know they couldn't take me out of state, but I think it was they couldn't take me out of the metro area.
And that was before it was final.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's like that today, is it?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't want to find out myself, but I think that that's probably a thing that happened way back when. Well, Edie,
thank you, Carol.
Well, Edie, Marcia, I'm the same age you are, so we can't get into that. And Suzanne, you're probably pretty close to our age too. Well, we're gonna
sure you're 20 years younger, but
we're gonna wrap up this interview now. You really told me a lot of things I didn't know that I think it's very interesting. But we're going to go ahead and wrap up this interview. And I know you went through a lot of emotional stuff talking about it. You know, there was funny stuff. There was emotional stuff. I know the Vietnam thing was very emotional for you. But thank you very much for everything you've told me, because it certainly enlightened my life. And
over and out.
And I think this is probably the end of our interview. Good night. Good night, Suzanne.
Good night.